Today, can Labour hold on in Batley and Spen, or will another defeat mean crisis for Keir Starmer? For Labour, losing Hartlepool in May was shocking. Governing parties hardly ever take seats from the opposition in by-elections. And so, it's perhaps not surprising that the defeat led to intense soul-searching for Keir Starmer. But all of that could be dwarfed if he loses another by-election to the Tories. The people of Batley and Spen have backed Labour for almost 25 years, but the polls suggest that they could desert the party tomorrow. And the reason for that is not just the fallout from Brexit and the continuing trend of disillusionment among white working class voters. It's also about another, different section of Labour's core base. Previously loyal Muslim voters also appear to be peeling away. In the final days of this race, in which Labour fears losing votes to the Tories on one side and to George Galloway on the other, things have turned increasingly nasty. From The Guardian, I'm Anushka Astana. Today in Focus, is Labour facing the perfect storm in Batley and Spen? Maya Wolf-Robinson, as a Northern correspondent for The Guardian, you've been covering the Batley and Spen by-election that was triggered after its former MP, Tracy Brabin, became the Mayor of West Yorkshire. Tell me about the constituency.
So the constituency of Batley and Spen is made up of a handful of towns and villages in West Yorkshire. The biggest town, Batley's got about 50,000 residents, and it's got this really long and very proud history of textiles. And so like quite a lot of northern textile towns like Dewsbury or Bradford, in the sort of 1950s, when there were post-war labour shortages, Batley recruited lots of textile workers from South Asia. So now there's a big Muslim community. So that's about 20% of the population. It's got pockets that have quite high levels of deprivation and child poverty, whilst there are also some more kind of affluent greener areas as well. It has had a Labour MP since 1997, but it has had Tory MPs in the past. And actually, Labour's majority is pretty slim. It's only about 3,500 votes.
OK, so Labour has selected Kim Leadbeater.
I've lived in Batley and Spen all my life, and I've lived in probably about 8 different places. So Littletown, Liversedge, Heckmondwike, Gummersall, Batley, Cleckheaton. This is not just Batley and Spen.
She's a local candidate. She's the sister of Joe Cox, who was murdered by a neo-Nazi when she was MP for Batley and Spen. Now, obviously, there are similarities here to Hartlepool. There was a big Brexit vote and a similar white working class demographic that Labour has been worrying about across the so-called Red Wall. But the thing that has dented Labour's confidence here actually came as a bit of a surprise. They're worrying about losing the support of Muslim voters in the seat. Why is that?
So there are a few issues. I think for lots of these voters, Corbyn was really popular. Not the case for all communities in the north at all. But actually, because of Corbyn's strong opposition to the Iraq war, because of his vocal support for Palestine, I think that lots of people thought, you know, this guy is on our side and we will continue to support the Labour Party. But they have perceived a shift, I suppose, since Keir Starmer took over. One of the first things that Keir Starmer did in the early weeks of his leadership was shift the party's stance on Kashmir.
Keir Starmer, the leader of Britain's Labour Party, has changed his party's position on Kashmir. I want to repeat that. The Labour Party has repositioned itself on the Kashmir issue. It has finally accepted that Kashmir is a bilateral issue for India and Pakistan to resolve.
Which didn't go down well with lots of Muslim voters. There was a story about Keir Starmer pulling out of an event in Iftar to break the fast during Ramadan earlier this year. And then, of course, this by-election was called following a period of violence in Gaza and Jerusalem, which left hundreds killed. Many Muslim voters in Batley and Spen were really upset and angry, and they wanted a stronger statement of solidarity with the Palestinians and condemnation of Israel from Keir Starmer and from Labour.
It's black and white. These are laws set by the international community. So many international laws that's been broken by Israel. And what they're doing in places like Palestine. What do you see these politicians are scared to say anything about it?
Labour would argue that their position hasn't actually changed. They support a two-state solution where an independent Palestinian state can thrive alongside a safe and secure Israel. But there is a perception that Keir Starmer hasn't really communicated that.
Would you normally vote Labour?
Normally I would vote Labour.
Okay.
And this time I won't.
And
I don't like what Starmer stands for.
Only from Guardian.
He's been there since Corbyn went out. And he's never spoke up about Batley or about immigration or about Muslims or anything. Never. He's never said anything. So why should I support a Labour leader that's never spoke for me or my community until he wants to vote?
I think people feel like their votes have been taken for granted. My colleague, Alex Mislin, was in the seat recently and he went to a mosque after Friday prayers where Lisa Nandy, the Shadow Foreign Secretary, and Kim Leadbeater had been canvassing.
You know, I think for 2 years, 2.5 years, we let a Conservative in.
And they'd faced quite a hostile reaction where people said, really, that they felt like Labour had didn't appreciate their support.
You've taken our vote for granted. You've taken the piss anyway.
Sounds like the type of story we've heard quite a few places.
Yeah, it is. I think it's a different community and different issues, but it's another community of core Labour voters that Labour have relied on for years and years and years, and now that's starting to come away.
There has been a controversial suggestion that some local voters don't like the way Starmer has prioritised a crackdown on anti-Semitism. Now, Labour has absolutely denied that that is the case with these voters, and the Labour Muslim Network says it is an Islamophobic trope to imply Muslims are anti-Semitic. Did this come up at all?
What people said to me when I was reporting is that there's been a rising tide of Islamophobia in the last few years. Obviously, what happened to Jo Cox, where she was murdered by a member of the far right, means that Islamophobia is not an abstract concern to lots of people who live within that seat. That fear of violence from the far right is very real. And so what lots of people said to me is that Islamophobia has not been taken as seriously as they can see anti-Semitism being taken.
And how much of this is about Starmer himself?
Fair or not, I think a lot of it does boil down to the individual. One Muslim activist who's been out in Asian areas said to me that amongst these communities, Keir Starmer's name is mud. A recent poll on behalf of the Labour Muslim Network showed that the party had lost around 11% of support from 2019 to 2021. And whilst there was still 42% favourability for the Labour Party as a whole, there was minus 7 favourability towards Keir Starmer.
And into that problem that is brewing for Labour that you've seen all over the constituency has come an even bigger headache for the party. George Galloway. Tell me about Galloway.
George Galloway is a former Labour MP who was expelled from the party back in 2003. And since then, he's actually challenged Labour in many by-election seats. He's been unsuccessful in quite a few of those, but there was two seats where he managed to surprise everyone and oust a sitting Labour MP. And that was in Bethnal Green and Bow.
And I do hereby declare that George Galloway is duly elected a Member of Parliament for Bethnal Green and Bow.
And Bradford West, back in 2012.
This, the most sensational result in British by-election history, bar none, represents the Bradford Spring.
And he's got this kind of trademark fedora hat that he wears, and of course, actually, lots of people know him because of his stint in Celebrity Big Brother, where he famously pretended to be a cat.
Now, would you like me to be the cat?
No, no words to that.
An image that not many of us can forget, if you have seen that. And, you know, George Galloway he's a really divisive figure. He was sacked from his last job at Talk Radio because of an alleged anti-Semitic tweet. He's said lots of really controversial, offensive things. But in some communities, he's a real hero. And I think he's one of those politicians, maybe a bit like Nigel Farage or Boris Johnson, where if you don't like what they say, you just don't get it. You don't get why they appeal. But for others, they're really charismatic and really appealing despite their faults.
He's probably one of the few people, the person, right, you know, who's actually, right, you know, supporting the humanity all over the world, what I've seen him, because, you know, like, especially his dedication towards Palestinians.
And why are you supporting George?
Basically, he speaks his mind, and he speaks up for the things that I like, you know, that I support.
Mm-hmm.
We need the voice. It's as simple as that, I mean.
What they know him for is, you know, a bit like Corbyn, his opposition to the Iraq war and his really outspoken, passionate defence of the Palestinian people. And this is a campaign that has been really focused on WhatsApp, he told me. And WhatsApp groups have been sharing videos where he's been endorsed by activists in Palestine. Or they've been sharing old speeches where he passionately talks about these Middle Eastern issues, which they feel that Keir Starmer isn't doing.
And the only solution here is for a binational state in that small territory called Israel-Palestine, or Palestine-Israel, call it what you will, where all the Jews, Christians and Muslims live as equal citizens under the law. One man, one woman, one vote. What's wrong with that?
I sat down with George Galloway in the constituency. And, well, whilst he says he's in it to win it, he's also really clear with people and with me that he just really wants to get Keir Starmer out of his job.
The slogan, Starmer out, has unusual traction here. We're in it to win it. Our first aim is to win it. But of course, our second prize would be to put Labour into third place, bring about a convulsion in the Labour Party that saw him thrown out, because Labour will never win a general election under Keir Starmer.
He says to people, be part of history. He says, no one will forget the Batley and Spen by-election, because it'll go down in history as forcing Keir Starmer out of the job.
I should say that on the tweet that you mentioned, George Galloway denied that there was any anti-Semitism there. When he was asked to apologise for it, he said he loved Jewish people, he simply didn't like Israel. But he has certainly said controversial things, including once about rape, for example. When you watched him walking around the constituency, did any of those controversies come up?
No. When I was walking around the constituency with him, it was a bit like being with some sort of local celebrity, where cars would beep or stop to come and chat to him. But saying that, a lot of those people are men. And what one activist suggested to me is that actually Galloway's popularity and success is more with Muslim men. And actually, there are lots of women who kind of see through, one might say, his offering and are more loyal to Labour.
And all of this is problematic for Labour, isn't it? Not just Galloway himself, but the very fact that so many of the Muslim voters in this seat are feeling quite disillusioned. a lot of MPs would consider Muslim voters to be a key part of their base. How is Kim Leadbeater responding to it? Is she very worried about it?
I think locally, they are worried about it. Whilst her campaign was very focused on sort of hyper-local issues, very much road safety, crime, fly tipping, antisocial behaviour, that kind of thing, she's now also got another leaflet which does focus on Kashmir, Palestine and Islamophobia. Recently, she tweeted a video where she talked about Palestine.
But there are also issues which resonate with particular parts of the constituency. And it's my job to listen to those people and have those conversations as well. So whether that's international concerns around Palestine and other issues, or whether it's looking at how we can have vibrant town centres and improve Batley and Hetmondwike.
And even Keir Starmer, a couple of weeks ago, used PMQs to ask a question about Palestine.
So will the Prime Minister take the opportunity this weekend to press for renewed international agreement to finally recognise the state of Palestine alongside a safe and secure Israel, to stop the expansion of illegal settlements and to get a meaningful peace process back up and running?
Which definitely was noticed in the seat, although I think it maybe backfired slightly because it seemed a little bit cynical.
For some time, this has been becoming an increasingly heated battle for the constituency. But in the past week, it's taken a turn that some feel is pretty nasty. There have been a few things that we'll come to, but the first, which was horrible to watch.
Members of Parliament who have forced that LGBT indoctrination to children, what do you feel? How do you feel about Muslim parents who don't want their children to learn?
Was a Muslim activist, actually from outside Batley and Spen, from Birmingham, haranguing Kim Leadbeater, who is gay, from an anti-LGBT perspective, about what children are being taught in schools.
Do you know what I'm not going to stand? You shouting at me, an innocent woman who has put herself forward for a public life.
No one's going to interrupt
you. This is where I live. This is my community. Don't come here and shout at me in the street. The Muslim community of Batley and Spen deserve better than this.
I'm asking you, are you going to support?
What has been the response to that incident, and how much has this been part of the wider campaign?
So I think the response was really one of shock, because it was really horrible to see Kim, who clearly felt quite shaken afterwards, being shouted at and feeling intimidated, given the context of what happened to her older sister just 5 years ago. Now, Galloway, who was just a bit further up the street when the incident happened, his team have been very clear that they say that this man had nothing to do with them. He isn't local. He came from Birmingham. He's a well-known anti-LGBT activist who started lots of the protests against LGBT education in schools a couple of years ago. But Galloway has been stirring the pot in terms of wider LGBT issues, where he's kind of ranted about how he doesn't want his children to learn that there are 99 genders. He's tweeted things like, "I'm far right, according to a concerted Labour onslaught. In fact, I'm just a working class, straight, white male with six children, three boys, three girls. No time for wokery." And people have raised the question of why he feels the need to point out that he's a straight man. When I did sit down with him, I said that one or two activists had raised with me the fact that people had mentioned Kim's sexuality on the doorstep as a reason why they might not support her. And I asked him whether that was coming from his team.
Is that something that your supporters are saying? Or
not at all.
No.
People's sexuality is their own. I have nothing to say about that at all. The deputy head of our campaign, Tanisha Branwell, is an openly bisexual woman. She's got it on her profile and so on. So, you know, we have no trouble with anything like that. We don't believe in identity politics, so by definition we don't mind or care what people define themselves as, still less who they sleep with.
Okay, so Galloway entered this race trying to drum up a protest vote against Labour that he hoped would ultimately oust Keir Starmer. But his odds of winning have been improving quite starkly And, you know, he seems like a confident man. I imagine he thinks he might win now. But he obviously can't do that with the Muslim vote alone, can he?
No. And what we've seen is that while his campaign might have started in mosques and community centres, he's actually now going for the kind of white working class vote with a anti-woke stance, bigging up his pro-Brexit credentials. But that does mean that he's going around saying one thing to one set of voters and quite a different thing to others. So one example of this is the Batley Grammar School situation. So earlier in the year, a teacher was alleged to have shown children a representation of the Prophet Muhammad that led to fierce protests outside the gates, initially by locals and concerned parents, but it attracted outsiders and it got more heated. It was a really big, divisive local issue with many Muslim parents who were concerned that the image had been used, and also others who were concerned that an individual teacher was being unfairly targeted. So when I sat down with Galloway a couple of weeks ago, he said he would have made sure that the incident never happened and described the alleged image as a hate poster.
People have got a right to defend their religious sensibilities and be offended by gratuitous, egregious insult. I mean, this is not a cartoon. I hate the use of the word cartoon. This was a hate poster that, you know, Der Sturmer might have published against Jews in the 1930s. We can't have that in public schools, state schools, that are paid for by the people here and whose children go to the schools. We can't have that. And I would have taken steps to ensure that that did not.
But then last week, he attended a free speech rally, as it was billed, with the right-wing agitator Lawrence Fox.
The reason I am here is because I stand with the teacher. And it is absolutely shameful.
Who he told the crowd was a friend of his.
But one of the reasons I talk with Lawrence all the time is I abhor this cancel culture. Yeah. Every person to the right of you is called far right, and if there are two steps to the right of you, they're called a fascist. Lawrence Fox is neither of these two things.
And there we heard something from Galloway which wasn't quite contradictory, but a really strikingly different tone.
We must fight for everyone's right to a point of view, including the teacher in the Batley Grammar School, who, from Paul's account, has been shamefully betrayed.
Now, he would say that the context has changed based on the information that he received at the rally. But I think if you played that tape of him at the rally to local Muslim voters who are really concerned about that image being used and have previously heard what he'd said before on the subject, I just wonder what they'd say.
There is no proscription, even in the Islamic religion, to talking about depictions. I've just done it, and no one yet has stoned me for doing so.
So, from what you're saying, Galloway is potentially influencing this election in a pretty dramatic way. And probably the most worrying part of that for Labour is the fear that he will peel away thousands of previously loyal Muslim voters. OK, there is a possibility he himself wins, but more likely the impact of that will be to benefit the Tories, who are already hopeful in this seat, because it does have some similarities to Hartlepool, doesn't it? It has white working class voters, the constituency backed Brexit quite convincingly. Some might be attracted to Galloway's anti-woke diatribe, but more will be eyeing up the Tories, won't they?
Yeah, I think there's structural issues, really, that affect Labour in lots of these traditional Labour strongholds that are in working class areas across the north. So one of those is that there have been Labour councils in power for years and years and years, who would argue, of course, that they were forced to make lots of cuts because the government starved councils of money during austerity. However, if people do have issues about rising crime or potholes in the road or road safety or litter, inevitably they blame Labour for those problems, because as far as they can see, they've been voting Labour for years and years and years, and Labour are in power locally and they haven't fixed those problems. I was out in Heckmondwike last week, which is, it's a mixed area with lots of really nice detached and semi-detached houses. It's where Joe Cox and Kim Leadbeater grew up, actually. But it's also got some pockets that people are really struggling. The high street in Heckmondwike's been hollowed out, replaced with betting shops and cash converters. So I was walking along some back streets with my colleague Chris Thomond, our photographer in the north, and you know, it's really hilly. It's got those kind of West Yorkshire views. Lots of houses with flags on, some with St George's crosses, others with Palestine flags.
Yeah, I am. Is that all right? Can I come in?
And we walked past this little row of council houses with a communal garden where these two women were sat outside. Cheryl Rowan and her neighbour, Margaret Belk, who's housebound and gets really little care. Cheryl's been helping her out. They've bubbled together since the start of the pandemic.
Your brother would have made it.
Your brother?
Your dad would have built it. My mum would have barmaid and worked in mills. I would have nursed. You're not going to vote anybody but Labour, are you?
Yeah.
They've both voted Labour all their lives, but slowly over the years have become completely disillusioned for the party, and for the first time are switching to the Tories. Cheryl said, the streets are filthy.
Look at streets, filthy.
That their garden never gets looked after or mowed by the council.
Sweet roads.
You know, the state of the roads, how fast people drive is something that was raised by people continually in the area. You know, Cheryl even blamed Labour for Help the Aged no longer providing services in their area.
Help the Aged. You ring up now and say, can I have some help? Ring up and they'll say, no, we can't. We've got an office in Batley, but we can't see you. We've had that many cuts that care stops at Murfield. So Huddersfield and Murfield are looked after. Dewsbury, Batley, Heckmondwike, Cleckheaton, nobody looking after Help the Aged, nobody looking after dementia patients.
For you, that's Labour's. That's Labour that haven't sorted that out.
As far as I'm concerned, it's Labour that's out. Labour's been in, haven't they? Last couple of years.
Locally,
been,
yeah.
Locally.
Yeah.
And they
well,
done
you blame
anything.
Your local council.
You see, you blame your local council because it's the local council that's got the money, so...
And,
stop it again.
You know, in contrast, the lots of Muslim voters that I'd spoken to, Cheryl got really annoyed to hear Leadbeater talk about foreign policy issues. She says this election isn't about Palestine or Israel. It's about Heckmondwike, where I live. And, you know, she cares more about getting the grass cut.
It's not about Palestine and Israel, you know. Why bring that into it? Saying that she supports Palestine. I don't.
Yeah.
I support Heckmondwike or where I live.
Yeah.
You know, get the grass cut properly, things like that, that's important to us.
One of the things that was certainly very persuasive in a seat like Hartlepool was this idea that areas that have voted Tory nearby, in that case Darlington, were getting a lot of good things. You know, Darlington was getting Treasury North. Is there a sense here that voting Tory might actually help the constituency because there may be some pork barrel politics, as it's called? Quite controversial, the idea that the government will essentially reward voters for backing them.
Yeah, I think there is, because just a mile and a half up the road from Batley, you've got Dewsbury, who in 2019 recently elected a Tory MP. And you know, there was actually a voter that I was talking to, again, a lifelong Labour voter who was switching his vote to George Galloway. And he said his main problem with Labour was because they hadn't taken Islamophobia seriously. And that was why he was backing George. But he told me that if he wasn't standing, he would have voted for the Conservatives.
Well, a Conservative MP in Dewsbury, they've got £25 million to update the town. What have we got in Batley? And if we have a Labour MP, we're not going to get anything. and Batley needs reviving.
Look at Dewsbury. They've just been handed £24.8 million from the Towns Fund. And I think the problem that's facing Labour is that there's core parts of their traditional voters who think that, for whatever reason, the Labour Party no longer represents their principles, or culturally it doesn't quite fit with them. And so they think, well, if Labour doesn't match those anymore, then I'll vote with my pocket, because this government seemingly rewards areas that have Tory MPs. And Boris Johnson visited last week, and he went to the biscuit factory, which is one of the big employers in the town, and he essentially promised more investment in the area if people supported the Tory candidate, Ryan Stevenson.
Coming up, what does it mean for Labour if Batley and Spen is lost? You think this is an advert, but really, it's me again. Begging. And I've actually got someone with me who is never with me.
Hi, Anishka.
Hi, Rachel. We never talk anymore.
We never used to talk. And we never appear on an episode because everyone just thinks I'm you anyway.
That is weird, isn't it? That people think we are exactly the same. You are from Cornwall and I'm from Manchester, but very close.
Try it. From The Guardian, I'm Anishka Astana, today in focus. Does that sound like you?
That's like my soft Manchester voice. How do I do Cornwall? From The Guardian. So anyway, we're being distracted from the point here, which is that we want to beg people,
please,
to vote for us in the British Podcast Awards.
Anishka, how can people do that?
They can go to britishpodcastawards.com/vote.
And then all you need to do is put Today in Focus in the search bar and that's it.
And if you think we're begging too much, then you're wrong, because apparently the only way to have any chance in this award is to be totally shameless. Maya, as we reach the end of this contest, it has turned quite nasty. Not just the anti-LGBT incident that you mentioned, but Labour activists getting egged, fake Labour leaflets being mocked up and distributed, and Stephen Yaxley-Lennon, aka Tommy Robinson, threatening to go to the seat. It's kind of turning into a nightmare for Labour. And according to the polls and the bookies, the party could lose tomorrow. If it does, what would it mean for the party and what would it mean for Keir Starmer?
I think that this by-election has come to represent a bit of a referendum on Keir Starmer's leadership, particularly given the defeat in Hartlepool and the victory over the Conservatives by the Lib Dems in Chesham and Amersham. Galloway especially has made it particularly personal about Starmer, and losing two by-elections to a governing party hasn't happened since 1929, I think. So it will pile pressure on Starmer. And I think it should trigger some soul-searching, because it'll be a demographic that the party already knew was a problem slipping away in terms of white working class voters, but also it'll be Muslim voters who possibly have switched their allegiance. And whilst obviously not all of these communities all vote as a bloc, largely Muslim voters have been loyal to Labour. And so I think if we start to see that vote start to peel away, it really should be a concern. I think that is the beginning of a perfect storm for Labour.
Maya, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Maya Wolf Robinson, a Northern correspondent for The Guardian who has been spending a lot of time in Batley and Spen. Do read her brilliant pieces on this, as well as articles by the rest of the North of England team and our Westminster team, at theguardian.com. They will, of course, be reporting on the election itself tomorrow and all the fallout. As ever, the best way to keep up with politics on a rolling basis is to read Andrew Sparrow's brilliant politics live blog. Before we go, I want to thank Maya and also Alex Mislin for his reporting as well. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Josh Kelly. Sound design was by Axel Cucutier. The executive producers are Phil Maynard and Archie Bland. We'll be back tomorrow.